2-1-2 break. Lead pass, settle Brady, moving in, shoot, score!
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Will Smith in front, he scores!
As the official ticket marketplace of the Sharks in the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Along the drive, great save by Askarov!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build-Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? It is a busy day. The San Jose Sharks have been making trades. We've seen Vitek Vanacek be dealt to the Florida Panthers. We have now seen Nico Sturm be dealt to the Florida Panthers. Defenseman Vincent Desharnais has been acquired from Pittsburgh for a draft pick. And we still, at the time of this recording, have about 23 hours till the deadline. So things are busy right now for the San Jose Sharks. But most importantly, they have continued to play good hockey, even amidst losses on this road trip. And in the last two wins, they've given themselves a chance, which to me is the most important thing. The Sharks are playing like a team that believes in themselves and are bought in. If they are bought in my opinion, that is the most important thing. Let's talk about everything that's been going on now with Shang Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California. You keeping your head above water? It's a little busy out there.
Yeah, no, it's a very busy in Denver here, a lot going on.
If you were looking at your expectations versus what the reality is now, as this started with the CC and Granlund trade before a while ago, you know, well before the deadline, to where we are now, is this in line with your expectations? Now seeing Vitek Vanacek being traded, now seeing Nico Sturm being traded. We obviously don't know if there is more coming down the line. Mario Ferraro's name keeps on popping up. We know that Luke Cunningham has been a name that has popped up, in recent memory as well. So is this in line with your expectations, or is it a little more or a little less? Where are you right now?
I guess maybe a little more. I thought that there might be a player or two that they keep just because you need to have some good veteran leadership. I know they already do have some with Gaudreau and Toffoli, et cetera, but I thought they might keep a couple of these guys to kind of work and grow with Macklin, with Will Smith and whatnot. So maybe a little more so.
Is the idea just that at this point in the final 20-ish games of the year, maybe they feel that they don't need as much of the veteran leadership in the sense that these guys have been doing it for a while. Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini in particular are having success at a consistent rate, that they're not as worried about having as much of that leadership aspect around?
Well, we won't talk with Mike until tomorrow, trade deadline day, or after trade deadline tomorrow. So we'll have a better sense of what he's thinking. But I think it is probably encouraging what's happened on this road trip and how good the Sharks have been. And even though they've traded before this road trip, Granlund, CC, Blackwood.
Yeah.
And so that could be part of the calculation there, that they still have a good balance of that with the guys who are left over. So that part, I'm not really quite sure on that part of it. But there is a point, though, where the team will have to stop doing this.
Yes,
obviously. Not this year, though, I guess.
No, I mean, I think that just kind of goes back to the idea of where did they think they were going to be in terms of their results. I don't think they expected to have only 17 wins at this point. Obviously, they've had so many third period losses over the course of the year that maybe if they had held on to Mackenzie Blackwood, they would have had more. Mike alluded to the fact that Blackwood played himself off the team. And, you know, there's infinite unknowables here, Shang, that you and I can debate for hours on end. I won't subject you to that for the time being. We'll save that for another day. But for where the Sharks are right now, do you think it's just an idea of, hey, we are in a position to get another top three draft pick potentially? This year is not the reality, and it's still about the future. As much as maybe there is now light at the end of the tunnel with these young talents showing promise, it's still not about today or the here and now.
Well, see, I would say the point, though, of keeping guys like a – and I had this argument on my podcast, so if you guys have heard it already, I apologize. But keeping a guy like Granlund isn't about today. It's not about 20 games. You're not going to make the playoffs. The Sharks could win out. They could win every game the rest of the season. They're not making the playoffs. That's how far back they are. But it's about the next year or two, right? And it's about teaching the young kids the right things. And, yes, they are learning the right things already. And we are seeing that on this road trip. So credit to Mike, to Ryan Warsawski and all that, right? But the next couple of years, though, are a big part of it. And it's that bridge to the next time the Sharks are in the playoffs. And you need some guys around. Mm-hmm. And if you trade them, which is fine, then you need to add them during free agency. And so, or via trade over the summer, which I imagine that they will. But yeah, that's all kind of unlikely, like you said, kind of unknowable now because we don't know who they're bringing in. I guess they brought in one guy, you know, that Deschamps name. But
right.
So, yeah, it's a little bit unknowable now.
Do you think that guys are going to, as they enter free agency, look at the San Jose Sharks and see what's maybe, you know, a star in the making in Macklin Celebrini, Tyler Toffoli having continued success, a goalie like Askarov? Do you think it's going to be a situation where guys are attracted because they feel that there's something good building there?
Yeah, a little bit so. I think earlier this season, the Athletic had an interesting survey where they talked with players, and San Jose, I think, was second on a list of places that players did not want to go to. And I think that there is going to be a part of that still. That's granted, not every player in the league, but there are going to be some players that they want to win now, and San Jose is not a place for that. But there are going to be players like a Tyler Toffoli that are going to be open to this situation. And, of course, it helps a lot because you have two very clear building blocks in Macklin and Askarov and Will Smith, too, of course, and Willie Macklin and all those guys.
What do you think of the way they've played on this road trip? Because I know that Ryan Warsawski talked about they tightened things up. They introduced some new things tactically right after the break when they had about 4 days of practice to get ready for this road trip. They have been playing, I could argue, their best hockey of the year. It's been tighter, most definitely. Mm-hmm. What have you seen?
Yeah, I've been very impressed. So this is the longest stretch of solid hockey that they've played probably since the beginning of the season when they still had Blackwood on the team. Since they traded Blackwood, I think it's been very up and down, in part because I don't know if they felt like they could trust the goaltending. And I think part of what Warsawski, I think, in terms of sort of the changes that he's introduced tactically and in the neutral zone, is to protect the goaltending more and have less odd-man rushes and that sort of thing, right? And not to put it all on the goaltending. The Sharks' working environment for a goalie is probably the hardest in the league the last couple of years. And I think I'm not trying to criticize D-Tech or Alex. I think it's more a recognition of how good Blackwood was. And
right.
I think we maybe quite appreciate how good he was and how he could kind of under siege still kind of be in the right frame of mind, you know, be Mr. Positive, but also perform incredibly well too, being under siege. And so anyway, so I think Warsawski recognized that. It means helping out his goalies more. And we see that because they cut down their shots against. They've outshot their opponents on a fairly regular basis on this road trip, which if you look at their game log this year, that's not a regular occurrence for the Sharks to be outshooting their opponent. And so overall, they definitely have been a different team on this road trip. And I think after they traded Granlund, after that Dallas loss to lead into Four Nations, things were really looking like they might kind of go the way of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And a credit to, I think a lot of it does go to Ryan Warsawski for kind of, you know, the buck stops with him, and he stopped it right there, and he got his guys on board with some of his changes, and they're playing it.
No, they most definitely are. The one thing that did hang around until they got that win against Toronto was the third period losses, and obviously you've got to play three periods to finish a hockey game, and it's kind of a, you know, the game's going to develop the way it is, but how do the Sharks going forward rectify the third period issues that they've had? Because going over the entirety of the season, I think it's like 27 quote unquote close losses. And I would have to imagine the majority of those were them conceding goals in the third period. But so many of those games, Sheng, they had a lead in the third period. I think that's what was probably so frustrating about it. You know, how do they learn those lessons this year and take it into next year? Or is the blunt truth of it that they don't have the horses for 60 minutes of hockey to hold on to a lead?
It's going to be tough, right? I think a lot of it is to just not overthink it and to just keep playing the best you can to the system that is working and not think about, oh, no, we're in another league, or, oh, no, the team's pressuring us and we're going to blow it. And they're still going to have losses like that to end the season. They're not going to go win every third period lead now for the rest of the season, but have some wins and have some losses like they did in Buffalo. They were able to close out that game, and just I think they can do that. They'll be fine. Just don't let it become a thing bigger than, I know in media we always have to ask about it, but
yeah,
you know, don't let it become a kind of the story itself. You know, just, they're a young team. They don't have the horses necessarily, and so they're going to blow some third period leads coming down the line. But they're going to also keep it for you too, just like they did in Buffalo, and just try to play the same way. And so you'll get some results that way.
Well, that's why I find the moral victory arguments from the outside perspective is relatively valid, because, you know, they don't have, like we've said, the horses to compete for wins as often as they would probably like. But if you're from an outside perspective, to your point about Ryan Warsawski getting the team to buy in and continue to play hard, to me, that's indicative of something. I know that 2 points is truly the only thing that matters, but the consistent hard efforts that we're seeing right now amidst record-wise a season that's very similar to a year ago, I think is quite telling, as is the goal differential.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the biggest thing too about this road trip is that they just needed some validation, I think, for their hard work. Even before the Four Nations break, they had been playing some pretty good hockey, save for that Dallas game. But a couple games before that, against Montreal, against Vancouver, they played solid games in those games, and they could have won those games too. And they needed, I think, some, like I said, it was an improbable comeback, but they needed some kind of validation that what they were doing, you know, it's working. And so they got that in Toronto, they got that in Buffalo, and those kind of had to kind of do their best to play to that identity the rest of the season. And not going to win every game, but if they come out of it, they win, say, a handful of games, lose some and whatnot, then you're happy if the compete is about at a stable level.
Shang, I know you've got stuff to do, so I will let you go. I appreciate your time as always, and I guess we'll just have fun together as we approach the deadline, which has about 23 and a half hours left at the time of this recording.
Yeah, I'll see you on Saturday.
All right, sounds good, Shang. Be good.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Again, that was Shang Peng of NBC Sports California and San Jose Hockey Now joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And I was also joined by Connor McGahey, the voice of the Colorado Avalanche, to take a look at everything going on with the Avs heading into tonight's game. CMG, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Mr. Ramey, and I've learned not to call you Theodore, even though I want to call you Theodore. you know, it just sounds so prim and proper. Plus, it's, you know, you can say bully all the time. Theodore Roosevelt. Maybe you should just do that anyhow. Bully beautiful.
Yes, yeah, you know, I don't think I've ever spoken softly. I think that's another reason why I'm a broadcaster. But you know, like, I carry a big stick in general just because I can be loud, but not as big of a stick as maybe the overall team that is the Colorado Avalanche are right now. Obviously, this team has been a work in progress all year long, making acquisitions, stocking up. Give me the 30,000-foot view on what the Avs are right now, because I know that they are the tops in the wild card, but 7 wins out of their last 10 and 3 in a row overall. I feel like they've been getting better all year long. So where do we view this team right now?
Well, it's always fun to talk about teams right before a trade deadline and then right after a trade deadline. And I know the Sharks have been busy as well with acquisitions and departures, but this team is in the middle of a season-long 6-game homestand, and they've won the first 3. They beat New Jersey, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and now they have San Jose, Toronto, and Chicago to round it out. So they've outscored teams 14-4 during this 5-game win streak. They won 5 straight on home ice and 5-0-1 in their last 6 at Ball Arena. And Ball Arena was not a place that they were very good earlier in the season. Really since December, and frankly, the direction of the whole team since the trades, no offense, of Blackwood and Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood. I almost said Mackenzie Wedgwood, which would probably work if you're just saying the two of them. Scott Blackwood and Mackenzie Wedgwood, but it has helped keep the team in between the rails, and Jared Bednar has said as much, as that goaltending has given us a chance to win each and every night. For example, Scott Wedgwood had to make some huge saves versus the Penguins, one of the worst games the Avs had played in a long time the other night, but Wedgwood keeps him in the game, and they're able to score 3 goals in the third period to come away with a 4-1 win. His previous 2 losses for Wedgwood, he only allowed 2 goals, so that's keeping your team in the hockey game. He just didn't get the run support, and that's been the case for either goaltender really since they were both acquired back in December. And some smaller slash bigger adjustments. Marty Natchez is a dynamic right-handed shot that thinks and sees the game very similar to Nathan MacKinnon. Jack Drury has turned into a face-off wizard. And he has more goals now with the Avalanche in fewer games than he did with the Carolina Hurricanes all season. So both him and Natchez have been great additions to the team. Now you have Ryan Lindgren. The Avalanche needed some solid play and toughness on the blue line. So overall, it's a team that is putting it together. And they don't have the luxury of being in a division lead like Winnipeg, and they can experiment with things down the line. They have to play with a group that's finally getting healthy, knock on wood, as Josh Manson should return tonight. And you're now in a position where you can have healthy scratches, and that hasn't really been a case all year. I mean, you've only played seven or eight games all season with your entire lineup healthy. So they're trending in the right direction, but they know that despite having the third easiest schedule in the National Hockey League to finish out the year, there's a ton of work to do to make sure they even make it into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You know, let's go back to the acquisition of Natchez, because he's a player that I was a big, big fan of, but that trade, many people looked at and said, this is one of the biggest of all time. And we here in San Jose made the immediate comparison of the trade that brought Joe Thornton to San Jose. How was it received in that franchise fan base? Because, you know, everyone on the outside is wondering, okay, there's clearly other things going on that have not allowed for an extension to be signed right away. It's not like you didn't walk away getting some really good talent in the situation, but what was the reaction from the fans? Because I know that they engage with you on the social media verse. I follow you, so I see, you know, through the algo, it tells me what people are saying. But, you know, what was the reaction then? What was your reaction?
I mean, Mikko Rantanen was a fan favorite here, without a doubt, and he should be. One of the best Finnish players of all time, great personality. I mean, you watched him grow up from a child, pretty much. And that's the case with all of them. I mean, you look at pictures of when Gabe Landeskog, for example, won the Calder. He looks like he's eight. And that was the thing with Mikko Rantanen, who, as a 10th overall pick, still needed some time in the AHL, if you can believe it, to refine his craft. So, Avs fans who were in a streak in the mid-2010s where things were not going well, and it really started after that first-round series loss to the Sharks. The Avalanche crept into the playoffs and gave it the old college try, but it was really time to rebuild. And, you know, it started with Landeskog the year after, MacKinnon 2 years after that, Rantanen 2 years after that. So, you know, much like Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, it was a household name for Mikko Rantanen. So to get him moved out was a shock to everybody. But you look at the situation, and it starts to make sense over time. And if you have to trade a player like Mikko Rantanen because of that camp's unwillingness to maybe be flexible or take the deal that is given to you to stay in town, then the return of Natchez and Drury and picks is stunning, really, because you don't get a ton of top-line wingers that are right-handed shots that are fast, smart, skilled. I don't know why Carolina was seemingly always trying to get Natchez out of town because he has more points in games played with his new club and has fit in on the power play, multiple game-winning goals. He's got 2 3-point games with the Avalanche in their last six. And so this is a player that can really, and very few can keep up with a guy like Nathan MacKinnon. And Marty Natchez can absolutely do that. And one of the talking points for this team throughout the entire year was the lack of depth in the bottom six. And that's where Jack Drury comes in. And now he has goals in back-to-back games for the second time since becoming a member of the Colorado Avalanche. So, again, I think the fans would never want to trade Mikko Rantanen, but sometimes to quote Frasier, the TV show, we must do unpleasant things in life. And if you have to do that, then the return for Ekko Rantanen, I thought, was fantastic as far as players that will be part of your team going forward, and not just Reynolds.
All right, big thanks to Connor McGahee for joining me. We are out of time. Pre-game 6 o'clock, go time 6:30 as the San Jose Sharks visit the Colorado Avalanche. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.